are back, Underground Espionage, episode 54. Tara, what do you think? You excited?
I'm erect.
Well, we sure are, because we have returning guests here today. Jesus and Kira of Honk Magazine, thank you for coming back.
Hello. Welcome.
Welcome
to us.
Welcome. We feel welcome. You feel welcome. You are back in the underground espionage lair. And we had so much fun talking last time. We knew we were just going to have you guys back on at some point, and we'll continue to. But got to be a good reason to do that. And we have a good reason. In fact, we have two good reasons.
Ooh.
And, you know, two is a significant number for us here because, you know, we here at Underground Espionage are big believers in the trading of favors as a couple. You know, some people say you shouldn't trade sexual favors.
Material goods.
It makes it clinical. It makes it dry, you know.
Transactional.
No. First of all, transactional is fun. Second of all. It's something you're going to do anyway, but you just make it a little fun. So
I love, and by the way, I do kind of wish we had video because Kira and Jesus have no idea where you're going with this. And the eyebrows are far, far up.
It's good.
The eyebrows are raised.
So for example, recently, you know, Tara really wanted this nice makeup set, real nice makeup set.
It's Isamaya. It's nice.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
And Tara said, hey. Thinking about maybe a little trade for this.
I'm gonna get the Wildstar collection. There's horses on it. I'll show you later, Kira. It's great.
So Tara said, thinking about a little trade. You know, what about a blowjob for the makeup? And I thought about it, and I said,
you were like, that's actually a luxury brand,
yeah,
Tara.
So I thought about it, and I said, how about two blowjobs? And you know what? Tara agreed to it.
So now the ante has been upped. So now everything that happens, like, what about two?
What about three?
Yeah.
You know?
One slice of pie. I'll have two slices of pie.
Exactly. So again, we're big believers in that's going to happen anyway, but why not make it fun? You know what I mean?
We didn't write in any letters to Honk, but I feel like that would be a good letter to write in to Honk.
Please.
Yeah. I feel like we just wrote it.
Yeah.
I feel like we just wrote it. Well, it goes to stand. It goes to show how comfortable we feel around you two that we could just blurt that out right away. We're just starting with it. We're just starting with a blowjob story.
Yeah, it's not like anyone else is gonna hear it.
Nobody. We're not recording this to put it out there, but
just don't think about that part.
That's
the trick, honestly.
It is true. It is true. If you don't think about that, anyone listens to this, you can just say whatever you want.
You can just rest assured that no one listens to it. It's fine.
No, that's like the number one principle of Honk and everything we do is like being indulgent. So like you said, like how about two? Like that's it. Like that's exactly
how
we do everything. What's the most fun we could have? What's the most like we could get out of every little thing?
Exactly.
Yeah, for example, like I'm looking at the cover now and you know, even the last time we did this and I was trying to like post things and I was like, I think I got all the dicks covered. Just like I was trying to find little like sequins and things to like cover the cocks and various, you know, grundles and tits. And every time I thought I had done it, then I would find another one and another one. And it's really impressive.
There's always more.
And there's so much more. And I'm looking at the cover now and it's like, I'm looking at the border and there's like a lovely rose with a clown in the middle. And there's just like a little drippy dick right draping off. See that right at the bottom, Mike? You think just like that? Look at this guy.
You're gonna have to remember to cover it up. Well, Tara, you are discussing one of the two things we are here to discuss with Jesus and Kara. That being issue number 3 of Honk, imminent release. And if you are living in the Los Angeles area, that number 2 thing is the Honk magazine issue 3 release party. May 24th at the Elysian. Cannot wait. You guys, how psyched are you?
Too excited.
Yeah.
Too?
Well, yeah, we're incredibly excited.
Yeah.
And you talking about the cover of the last issue and all the dicks to be hidden, I just wanted to take this moment to point out, as I did before, Kira, all the great artwork in Hunk. We get lots of good submissions from people, but all the really, truly great artwork is drawn by Kira. And she hides dicks everywhere. Yeah, and she doesn't even hide them. They're right in your face. But when you think you've seen them all, there's a couple more hiding.
Yeah, it's not like Playboy with one little lame bunny hidden on the cover.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of dicks, a whole bag of dicks to be found in this.
But honestly, like, so, you know, we've made the first two issues, and it's been great. We've had great feedback and a great reception from the people we intended to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And when we're making this third issue, we thought, let's do something fun. Let's, like, celebrate ourselves and celebrate the people doing this. So we were looking for a long time for a venue to do an event. And earlier this year, we did a screening at the Nickel Cinema in London, where we screened some of the 8mm adult films we've scanned. And that went great. No walkouts.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone loved it.
Yeah.
And we were looking for a place in LA to do a screening. And everyone we talked to said, we love what you're doing. We're fans of this, but we can't show this. We don't know what to do with this. So we've sort of gotten that in LA for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But we persisted, and at the Elysian Theater in the Skunk Room, right? There's sort of a party space there. Yeah. We're going to be doing this on the 24th. And yeah, so we'll be premiering the third issue. We're going to do a screening of 8mm films from our collection that we've digitized, and we've had music scored for these films, and some of the people who have scored them are going to be performing. Gray,
heck yeah,
our mutual good friend Gray, he's going to be performing as Laughing Chance. Major Entertainer, who's scored our Batman and Robin Meet Dick Nose.
That one is a wild one. I can't wait to see what the audience, watching that in an audience is going to be great.
Yeah, and then this band Punk Bunny is going to be playing. So we got live music, rare film screening of stuff that lived on 8mm in our living room, and the new issue of Honk on display and available to purchase.
Super, super excited.
Oh, yeah.
In addition, Underground Espionage will be DJing the night. We will be laying down the tunes in between all these things and before, and we're just going to set the atmosphere. So we are very excited. And this is an event. This is the kind of stuff that I'm looking forward to, because it's not just a regular show. And I still, you just said what's going to happen, and I still actually don't really know what's going to happen. I'm not sure what this is going to look like until we're in it, which is a pretty cool thing, and it's a pretty rare thing these days. It's not just like a show, you know. So I think it's a really cool idea what you guys are doing. Now, when you guys did the Nickel screening in London, was there anything else? Were there performers? Was there you know, anyone speaking, or was it just showing the 8mm?
So I did a introduction to it, which as you might be able to guess, was a nightmare for me. But
you're so great, and I understand that. I do understand it can be hard, especially speaking in public. And even before we did our first episode with you guys, you know, you were saying that, you know, sometimes the talking can be difficult, but you are so great, and when you can turn it on, you're incredibly funny, and you seem very comfortable. So I think it probably went even better than you thought it was going to go. Am I right?
I got the attention I was looking for
there
with that.
Oh, yeah. Little attention whore.
But yeah, it went well. People laughed at the jokes I made, so I was happy with that. But yeah, everyone was really receptive. It's a really great cinema. They show sort of grindhouse films, and they show some sort of golden age porn occasionally as well. But this is a very different kind of screening, because they're just sort of straight up hardcore sex for the most part, with like a little bit of context.
Very little, very little.
Yeah, it's not like when you watch porn for the stories, you know, me. I fast forward through that other nasty bit. You know?
It's interesting, though, because without these stories that they've put in place for these, it wouldn't be so interesting. They've got this crazy settings, and they're hard to find, and they get this is the kind of thing that gets thrown out by sort of grandchildren of...
Totally. No, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll say, like, if you come down on the 24th of May to see the show, the stuff we're showing, we're not excited about just because it's old and just because it's, you know, from the early 70s. Everything, we have a huge collection. Both of us have been collecting things for a long time, and the sort of films you'll see are things like Batman and Robin versus Dick Nose.
Yes.
We have Peanut Butter and Jelly.
Yes.
Which just about three or four, if I remember, guys just
three.
Smearing peanut butter and jelly in each other's ass cracks and
jerking off on a sandwich
and eating it. Nice. There's a sort of like satanic ritual. And an escaped gorilla from the zoo who...
Ping pong escapes.
Yeah, so everything is, like, fun.
And there's
funny.
Also some, for sort of porn heads out there, there's an early Jamie Gillis and Serena film where it's a bisexual threesome, and Jamie gets his dick sucked by Serena and some guy.
Yeah.
It's very unique, sort of... hard to find.
Yeah, so we collect, like I said, we've collected a lot of stuff. We have a lot of films and a big Jamie Gillis collection. And, you know, Jamie was putting out films for Redboard. And in the 90s, we have a film that's called Brute Force. And it says Jamie Gillis in his first gay film. And he's not having sex, but he's spanking and dominating these sort of twinks, like the way he does, and like
he's so good.
Humiliation of Heidi, and like these sort of films where he's just being really fucking rotten. He's doing that to these men, which is like an awesome thing. But we have a film from about 25 years earlier, with a bisexual scene with Jamie. So we'll be showing a lot of like really cool stuff that, again, like we have a lot of respect for like Alpha Blue and companies that are, you know, Vinegar Syndrome, putting out really cool things for people to buy on a much bigger scale than us. But all of the stuff we've put out is stuff that we own that we haven't seen someone else do. And we've done our best to archive it and make it available for people to see. And we've put out DVDs and VHS tapes, but this is our first screening in LA where people can come and see this.
You know, I think it's really exciting, and like you said, it's a godsend that all these movies are getting preserved by these big companies and these great editions, and we love them. We keep up, and we get
the restoration, like beautiful. The color that people haven't seen for decades.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and we probably even never saw because so many of these movies were treated like trash, and luckily there's somebody who has some good element, and they can do movies like Roommates, and they can do, you know, Through the Looking Glass, and these mm-hmm. great, beautiful editions. And that is great. I'm so happy that these exist. But what you guys are doing is, you know, is way more underground, and these things also need to be preserved. And that Jamie Gillis Serena scene with the other guys, actually one of the first things we saw that you had preserved, because with the DVD you guys put out, Gray has a soundtrack on one of, I don't think it's that one, is it?
No, his is on the Vampire Bride.
Yeah, so that's the
like three friends just sitting on a couch together, one couch listening to noise and watching a bunch of porn.
But yeah, I mean that's, you know, it's, that's how we live our life. But what I like, and especially about the what you guys are going to be showing at the event, is I do like, in the 70s there was this element of everything was fair game. So like you said, there's straight stuff, there's gay stuff, there's bisexual stuff, and there's no warning. There's no, like, click on straight, click on gay. It's like it's all there. And in the 70s, there was a lot of stuff like that. A lot of the old magazines and papers, it was all mixed in. There wasn't, like, this is this, this is this. I mean, obviously that existed, but there was a lot of element of it's all together.
Yeah, and I think that's something so great about the way things used to be is people could find out things about themselves organically,
yeah,
without having things sort of fed to them that they already know they're interested in, without sort of streamlining and sort of a single-mindedness that everyone's sort of forced into at the moment.
Yeah, and like that's exactly like what I mean, that hits the nail on the head about these things from the 70s. That's what we're trying to do with Honk, especially, and with the DVDs and all of this stuff. But we have gay, straight, bisexual, anything else you can imagine.
Of course.
Anything interesting, anything fun, anything passionate.
What's the name? I'm looking at this wonderful drawing. It's a gentleman or a hairy person in a gas mask sucking in some the vapors of the jizz of 1, 2, 3, 6 cocks and inhaling it through his gas mask. What's that? What's that label?
Yeah, exactly, right? It's unlabeled. It's unlabeled.
It's just
stuff.
Like forced spermicidal inhalation.
Look, this is a great great new page from the new issue, courtesy of Scorpion Lust, and I know Scorpion Lust has contributed before, so that's a great page. But
masterful
but,
work.
But like you're saying, yeah, this the lines. So many people will box themselves into this is this, instead of, like you said, and we've talked about this in the past, Karen, I believe even on the, sometimes I can't remember what we talk about in person or recorded, yeah. But talking about that thing where something might awaken something in you that you never thought was something that interests you. I think you talked about that the first time you really started seeing porn. You're mm-hmm. like, oh, like, I love this. This, you know, it brought something in you that maybe you didn't know existed, or was, or you kind of knew was there, but it brought this thing out. And I think that's what's so great. I think that's what's great about what you guys do with Honk.
Yeah, that's one of the things in my amazing intro I did at the Nickel was mentioned that nobody has to know what's going on inside your head. So
exactly.
Sort of another thing sort of that's normal today is people sort of making their personal lives everyone else's business, and it seems a little ironic to talk about that when we're publishing.
No, but I know what you mean,
It's you can kind of you can enjoy things privately without having to put a label on yourself or let anyone know what's going on with you. You can yeah, nobody has to know any of this 100%. Stuff. But if you want them to, then that's great.
And the other thing is, even if you're not into what someone else is into, you could experience it and appreciate it. And, you know, just thinking about the magazine, we cover everything. And we get tons of submissions and what we want from people. So the whole, like, Our philosophy behind this is just love and fun, mm-hmm. and that it. Mm-hmm. And there are things that we're publishing in here that doesn't necessarily excite us, but we're so happy it's exciting somebody. And the thing is, like, people have really closed minds where we've shown, you know, issues to people, and they're like, oh, I'm not really into that. And it's like, you don't have to be into that. That's not the point of it. Expose yourself to something else and take from it what you will, but really just appreciate the sort of spectrum of, like, fun, sexuality, but just enjoyment that people on this earth are having, and just let them have their fun. You have your fun, share what you want, keep whatever you want personal, but it's all just meant to, like, feel good and sort of be appreciated.
Yeah. And it's like when you hear people discussing something that they love, sometimes it may be like the most bland topic ever, but just their passion, like, draws you in. So it's like, I may not want to, like, stick my dick in a mouse trap, but if somebody is just, that makes them come, then I might be interested in watching them, explore their love, you know?
Well, yeah. Tara asked me this one time. We were listening to a track from Black Leather Jesus, they use a lot of, like, gay porn samples in their tracks. And Tara asked me one time, she's like, do you get turned on when you hear this? And I'm like, well, yeah, the energy of it. I appreciate the sexual energy of it. Does this literally specific thing? No, but the atmosphere and the energy. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's exciting. Yeah. It's like so fun. It's like, whether so, it's.
And that's the thing is like the open mind is like you said, it's like, and I think that's what's so great about Honk is the open-mindedness. It's open-minded. I know you guys, I know things are in there. We talked about things. You're like, no, this isn't my thing, but this person submitted this thing that's super important to them. I want to put it out there because it might be super important to someone else, or it might spark something in someone else that they didn't know was in them. And I think that's what we love as opposed to the just cookie cutter. Well, this is the thing that I like, so this is it, you know.
And if you like this, then you do this, and this is your thing. So yeah, like, let's get weird with it.
Hell yeah, let's get weird with it. But yeah, no, this issue looks amazing. Of course, obviously, you know, the very rare people who enter this lair. It's very rare. We don't allow just anyone in. But when we do allow them in, one of the things we will show them is our copies of Honk if they have not seen them. Because we're like, if you guys don't know Honk, you need to, like, this is, like, our people and this is what we're into. So you need to, like, kind of get in. And everyone we show is always just like, what is this? Like, how do I find out about this? How do I, like, you know? And so the first two issues have been amazing. This issue from the little preview pages you brought over for us look incredible. And... you know, Tara, why don't you go ahead and read one of the readers' letters here for us?
Oh,
because you'll give let's give the listeners of Underground Espionage a preview of Honk issue number 3.
Hello, Honk. Last night I had a dream that you published a picture of my wiener, only to doctor in a ruler next to it, which was not to scale. My piece is certainly larger than the 4 centimeters, and frankly, I am outraged. I used to be a fan, but. You just have no respect for your readers, and the next copy I purchase will be my last. If there's one thing I can't tolerate, it's lies and scandal. Honk is a plight on society. Yours disappointedly.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. So, you know what? Really,
you guys got to print it all, though. You know, you're not gatekeeping. If someone sends, you know, I'm glad that they're going to purchase one more issue, though.
Yeah,
you
they like, did say my next one will be my last.
Centimeters. I am going to purchase the next one. You know,
so
like,
unfortunately, doing stuff like this, you do encounter some naysayers and some...
But you know what? Yeah.
Well, I kind of enjoy this response. Dear Honk, do you have any pics of girls farting in your magazine? Thank you, Ted. I mean, the pic would be like, kind of just look like Gabe, right? Anyway, so you do respond, Honk. So let's. I haven't read the professional answer yet, but... Hi, Ted. Flatulence is not as notoriously hard to photograph, but by that same token, it's possible that anyone in this magazine could be farting. Regards. And that true, is we true. Had the same idea.
It is true, though.
Unless, though, have you seen, like, when people put flour, you do put the flour and then you fart. Oh, I don't mean to talk. Geez, I know, Sarah. It's rude to go that far. I'm sorry. I don't like that word. I apologize. It's quite crude, but if you throw flour at it, And you can see it.
I haven't seen the throwing.
Well, maybe issue 4.
I was going to say, is this a preview of what you guys might submit for issue 4?
Listen.
But it with glitter.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, we threatened to submit something for issue 3, but kind of what we were just talking about, this idea of putting things out there and putting things not, we did decide that we didn't want to put something out there. And you know, I think to everyone's disappointment, you know, we pulled that back.
I thought you were going to say to our credit. Disappointment.
But maybe someday, maybe someday. But I do think that what the submissions you guys do get of, I think it's interesting when people will put themselves out there as opposed to being anonymous. I mean, I understand that sometimes it's a necessary evil for people, whether or not it's their job or whether or not it's, you know, maybe the activity they're discussing is, you know, maybe there's legal reasons or whatever. But I find it to be way more fascinating when we know the person. And even if I don't know that person, that they put their own name on there, to me, is way more fascinating.
We should have had an alias, though, don't you think?
No.
Oh.
No. But let's talk about one of the things you guys are most excited about in this issue, and that is these crimes of a clown. Crimes of clowns. Is that what is the name of the feature? It's crimes of clowns or
crimes of a clown.
Crimes of a clown. Yeah. So I said it right.
Right. There are several clowns, but I mean, there's a bit of
history, a story behind this. Yeah. And will you please tell us this story? Because yes. These pages are already going to, I can tell, are going to be probably our favorites.
Fantastic. Yeah. So after the second issue, we got sent a package to our P.O. box, which we always encourage people to send us mail.
Oh, wait. Well, actually, before we, let's go ahead and say what the P.O. box is now. Honk Magazine, P.O. Box 7704, Van Nuys, California, 91409.
And they do have a voicemail.
Yeah, if you do want to call, you can also do so. And you can call the number 818-796-3687. But, Jesus, tell us about what you were sent.
Right, so, you know, we received this old farmer's almanac from 1976, and we felt, you know, someone trusted us with this. They sent us this package. They hurriedly scribbled our address on it in a note, and we thought we would do it justice by printing this. It was our responsibility. So we did bring a page along with the Crimes of a Clown feature we're doing. We wrote a little bit of context for this, so I'll share this now, what we published in the magazine. In November of 1976, the inmates of Walla Walla, Washington, maximum security clown prison, mysteriously vanished without a trace. Police arrived to find the inmates' uniforms discarded in a heap next to what first appeared to be a tunnel out of the cell, but was in fact just a painting of a hole on the wall. What happened to the convicts and why they were nude when they escaped was never ascertained, and now, nearly 50 years later, the mystery just continues to grow. One of our readers, who has elected to remain anonymous, sent us a small parcel containing a shakily penned letter explaining that they discovered a 1976 Walla Walla, Washington, maximum security prison almanac inside their recently deceased grandfather's bedside drawer. They said they felt a dark presence emanating from its pages and needed to pass it on to someone who could be trusted with this. As we are immune to evil and unafraid of books, we were, of course, their first choice to safely and securely archive this dangerous artifact. Much of the information in this almanac is simply too horrible to responsibly pass on to the public, but we felt it was our duty to publish the most heinous crimes and their perpetrators. Our intent was not to frighten the readers, although many of these clowns may still be operating in the shadows today. We just wanted to caution you as to some of the evils that exist in this clown community, and to hopefully ensure that history doesn't repeat itself. So we did include mugshots of these clowns and a description of their crimes.
It is incredible.
I was going to ask you if you, like, before you spoke to it, if you thought that it might be potentially cursed.
I mean, it is dark.
It's obviously cursed, and we didn't want to bring it into this home here.
Yeah, no, you respect. Yeah, that. We do appreciate
For example,
that.
This gentleman sold his nephew to a dancing man. This clown in particular shrunk a man to the size of a mouse with an evil beam.
Ooh.
Maybe he helped the escape, because, I mean, I think that the painted hole was a mere ruse.
That's a good point there.
Yeah, this gentleman sodomized an inflatable tube man outside of a chicken shop.
I mean, so these are
harrowing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stole another man's nose. The man was not a clown.
Can you do that if you're not a clown? I mean, it's one thing if you do it to another clown, but if you just do it to a non-clown?
Oh, and he looks very happy. I mean, I guess they all kind of look happy because their smiles are painted on their faces, but he instigated mass suicide, leaving clown car running in garage.
I mean, that is going to happen because there's so many clowns in that car that it's going to be like a Jonestown situation. I mean, it's just going to be... just
Jokestown.
Not, yeah, jokes. God damn. Yeah, no, this is
very upsetting.
It's very upsetting, and
it's difficult to
I mean, you're tearing up. I mean, you're actually crying. Yeah. Like, you know, you may think that Don't mistake that as sound of laughter. That sounds of weeping.
This guy offered kids sour candy to run over his big shoes with their tricycles.
Wow. You know, I was the sour candy thing was all. I know, Terry, you're a big sour candy. Like you.
I was just thinking, I would have probably done that.
Yeah, and I remember being a kid, and you're like, I'm gonna put so many warheads in my mouth, and like,
Okay. Somehow I acquired, look, I didn't purchase them, but someone randomly gave me a bunch of warhead candies. Do you know what those are? Like those crybaby, like sour candy.
Yeah.
And they were in the pocket of my jacket. And every time I put that jacket on, I forget. And I think it's something tasty. And I'm like, let me pop that in my mouth. And every now and then I remember that it's a warhead, but mostly I don't. So I'm just like driving in the car. I'm like, piece of candy. And then it's a warhead. And I'm like, oh, God. And I'm like making a face and like weeping while I'm driving. And I end up trying to spit it out. It's fun. Oh, it's a fun thing to do to myself.
You know, a lot of people with trauma process the trauma as something fun that's happened to them.
Yeah.
If you need to show on the doll where the clown touched you at any point. It's
like a little surprise I give myself once a week.
Yeah, we just wanted to say, like, as we mentioned earlier, like, this is all about fun and all about love, but when we got sent this package, we thought, like, it would be irresponsible to not share this.
I'm scared. I'm actually sorry. If you need a tissue, like, you know, I know this has affected you pretty hard. Because, I mean, it must have affected you, like, when you first got this book. You know, it must have just been, like, you know.
We thought it was just going to be full of jizz.
But it was much, much darker. I
thought it was going to be, like, another crusty underpant.
Yeah.
No, not this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Inch along for those crusties.
Yeah.
You know, we are responsible with holding on to this sort of material and other crusty jizz material as well. So we do, our mailbox is always open. We've received some really cool and, you know, important parcels over the last couple of years of doing Honk. And we always want to encourage people to reach out because this is a collaborative project. Even though we're putting this together, it's collaborative because people are sending us stuff and it's our obligation to share it.
No, absolutely. And you do have some returning contributors here on issue 3, Scorpion Lust, of course, being one. But one of our favorites would be Rhea. Apologies if I pronounce it wrong.
It's Rhea Adrie. I wanted to save you from pronouncing it wrong because
that was so nice.
She will steal your nose.
But this print is gorgeous. Like the printing of her art is gorgeous and the art itself is truly amazing.
We have to take this moment to say Rhea, one of our favorite people to ever exist in this world, and she is an incredible artist and one of the best friends we've ever had. And when we put together this first issue of Honk, we thought, okay, we're interviewing Rhea. And you gotta, maybe you've already read the interview, but we did a great interview and showed off her artwork. Yeah. And honestly, so, you know, for each issue, we've been sent 70, 80 submissions, and we have a very limited amount of space for people we can include. And there are only a few people that have been in all three issues so far, and Rhea is one of them.
Scorpion Lust.
L Rec, who, we've included lots of her art. She's in this as well. I think there's a couple of second timers, but we want to give space to new contributors, and we sort of prioritize that. But there's a few of our favorite people that, I mean, as long as they're sending stuff in and creating art, we're here to share it. And we're glad you pointed out the pages we showed you of Rhea's art because it's. She's just doing more incredible paintings, and it's our joy to share that with everyone.
It's passed now, but she had a gallery of all her own stuff recently. And was it in Oakland or San Francisco?
Yeah, in Oakland. Mm-hmm. She had a solo art show recently, and we don't mean to pressure her. If she's listening, Rhea, you did say you're going to come down on the 24th. So we hope to see you here, but anyone who comes can meet her. And...
We look forward to that. You know, she'd be someone we'd love to talk to here on the podcast, I think. So, hey, we're just putting a lot of pressure on you now.
Oh my God, so much pressure, Rhea. I love the borders that you use, like on each page, like they're, you know, it's like in Mad Magazine when we were kids, and you just love looking at the tiny little, you know, drawings on the borders. But they're really beautiful. This one in particular has, you know, it's the bottom's view of some people making love. So you just kind of see some butts and taints and other things going on. But it's arranged in a very artful way as a border. It's lovely.
I was just thinking right now, I would love for you to narrate a porno in like a sort of nature documentary style.
How great would that be? Hey, maybe the next live event, we'll see. We'll see. I think Tara would be incredible.
Yeah, just put a microphone in Tara's hand and
Now this very friendly gentleman is approaching a very suspicious looking woman, and she is thinking of.
I mean, one of our favorite porns is called Big Tit Oil Orgy. Aww. and Tara has like, that would be probably one of the best, because Tara has like a whole story about all the girls in it and like what they're doing while they're in it and while they're spraying the oil.
I do believe it's Big Tit Oil Orgy 3.
No, it's just Big Tit Oil Orgy.
Okay, that's my favorite. Well, there are so many and they're having so much fun, and then they have all these like guns that are full of oil, and everybody just looks like they like get along and know each other and like maybe hang out outside of Big Tit Oil Orgies. I don't know, it's lovely. There's little cliques, they play little games. That's fun.
Well, yeah, because one of our other favorite scenes is what you were probably thinking was the last thing too, in Oil Overload 2, with that has the super soakers.
Yeah, the super, but they Big Tit Oil Orgy has the
spray bottles.
I know, but then like a spray gun.
Yeah. I think this is actually, you know.
And Sophie D keeps spraying it, going pew 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 pew.
Yeah, it's just a great time. Look, again, like you guys are talking about, we're here to have a good time, okay? We're just here to have a good time. No one's here.
Just four friends throwing on Big Tit Oil Orgy.
Yeah.
Just to look at the finer points.
So Jesus and Kara, we're gonna pull out these oil soakers right now and do this live on the air. We're gonna squirt you guys with oil. You didn't know this was coming, but it is now. But some of the new contributors. Tell us about some of the new contributors you are excited about for issue number 3.
Right. Like I said, I think the majority of the contributors are first time contributors. And we want to say we got sent some really nice stuff from people who were in issue 2, and we had to hold off on it and maybe save it for a future issue.
There's going to be more. Don't think it's not over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mr. Omar King, who wrote he's publishing some of his own stories on his own and just really staying active and doing work. And it's his first time in Honk Magazine.
Yeah, he wrote a story about a chair from the perspective of a chair.
This is
the kind of stuff that you're just not going to get anywhere else. This is so great.
And we have Buck H. as well, who sent us some Polaroids of Swingers Orgy,
so cool.
And wrote a story about how him and his wife came into the scene.
And see, now this is like where we, you know, Tara and I have to say this is not anonymously us. You know, we didn't contribute.
You guys aren't Buck
H. Well, these are Polaroids. You can see their tattoos.
That's actually true. Yeah. With the Polaroids, you know it's not
us. No, but like that submission in particular from Buck H, that's one of our favorites that we've received in these first few issues. Yeah, because he wrote in to us and said, like, wow, like, I found your magazine and love what you're doing. And he very passionately shared what him and his wife, I think fairly recently, found that they were into, and a community that they found, and that they're just having the time of their lives, having sex and enjoying pleasure and sort of sharing this for everybody.
Yeah, it said, my wife and I started swinging about 5 years ago. Before that, we were each other's first and only sexual experiences. We were high school sweethearts from Middle America and a classic love story. But deep down, we were always a couple of filthy sluts just looking for an outlet.
I mean, look, that's amazing. And that's something that someone was actually talking to us about this and saying, you know, obviously Tara and I have been together for, you know, 26 years. And someone was asking us, like, you know, it seems like with you guys, like, it's actually only ramped up, you know, whereas so many people, they're crazy when they're young, but then they mellow out. They're like, but you guys, it seems like it's actually only just gotten crazier? And I'm like, well, yeah, that's 100%. But that's like, for us, that's living life. Like, why would we, as the years go on, you just keep.
We just hone it in.
Yeah. It's like, why would you?
You refine the craziness.
Well, yeah. Why would you? You know, tamp it down. You know, like.
Yeah.
So I love hearing that. I love hearing that after that long, someone's like, you know what? Let's check this thing out. And then, kind of the theme of this episode, we're talking about this thing sparks in you that you may not have ever known was in you, and then all of a sudden you're in this new world. I love it.
Right, and then to be compelled to write about it and share it with us and have us print this, you know, like we mentioned earlier, like this is really the point of it, is people having the most fun they can have and just wanting to, like, express that and wanting other people to, you know, wanting to share it with other people. And whether this is something you enjoy, I think what I get a lot of joy from is reading these stories or reading these letters from people. And it's just like, it genuinely makes us really happy to see people enjoying their life, because, you know, like you were talking about, like, why, like, just keep ramping it up, because there's so much bullshit going on in our lives that we can't control.
Yeah.
So why would we spend a second not just trying to have the best time we can?
Yeah.
Whatever it is we're doing. And, you know, like, when I was younger, I was maybe more reckless in the stuff I did.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So maybe
I'm
not as reckless anymore, but I'm definitely not pulling back, and I'm just indulging in what makes me happy and what I feel gets me the most joy.
And I think a lot of people end up in unhappy relationships because of certain social pressures and things that they expect from themselves and others. And things do sort of wind down because of that. And I think there's no reason for it to do that. But unfortunately, a lot of people have that situation in their lives.
And I'm sure I mentioned this several times in the last episode, Kira is the best friend I've ever had, and every moment we spend together is just, it's, I mean, there's nothing else I'd rather be doing, and we're having fun all the time. And even, you know, when difficult things in life come up, it's like we take care of it, and then we're just back to just living and enjoying our lives. Mm-hmm. And I think since last time we were here, I got Kira's name tattooed across my chest.
I think you talked about doing.
Was
it
just
because you have two, right?
I'm getting another tattoo.
Oh, so no, maybe you did
name.
Do it. Maybe you actually did.
So did I just do it? So
might have done it then.
In the next few weeks, I'll be getting her name a second time, because that's fun.
How about two tattoos?
Two times,
maybe
number two.
But kind of like you said though. Part of living is darkness, and is also going through darkness together. Like it's not. I always say it's not all fun and games, because it's not. But when you can go through darkness together, and what did somebody is someone listening to us? Is somebody listening to us? That is amazing. Uh oh. But going through that darkness together can also add to the experience of your life, because it's not all fun and games. Darkness is a part of life, and it can be a part of your life together. It doesn't mean you have darkness between the two of you or the two of us or whatever, but it means you're experiencing the darkness together, and that's okay too, you know.
I think we've both been very open about both very mentally ill, and
I mean, I hope I really hope that we don't know a single person who is mentally stable, because like I don't know what that looks like.
You know, every time I write something for Honk, and I'm sort of sharing it from the heart, and I'm writing a story, I'm like, oh shit, I've mentioned again how fucked up I feel all the time. And it's like, it's just part of who I am, and just sharing.
Yeah, but it's also something people aren't candid about a lot of the time, and especially in a positive sense of like sharing this is who I am and the way things are, but I'm still doing cool stuff and enjoying myself. Despite it.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't remember if it's issue one or two, but you guys got super, super into R. Crumb's brother.
Yes.
And to get perfect, you know, put someone putting themselves out there like that, it, you know, is that's to me, that's art, right? And I feel bad for anyone who has these things that don't know that they can put it in their art. But for us and our people in the underground and you guys and us and people who listen to us and people we work with, all of us, there's something going on in there. There's no one stable, but we all have figured out a way to use that and put it into our art, whether or not it's honk, whether or not it's podcast, whether or not it's music, whether or not it's noise, whatever it is. That's, to me, that's the strength in what goes on in the wirings up here. You know what I mean? Like, and I think you guys have, I mean, it's so cool to see how much honk's grown from, you know, Gray introducing us to you guys and showing us and showing us the first stuff to now we're at Honk 3. We have a event coming up in Los Angeles, and it does seem that you guys are the ball's really been rolling. You guys were just at the Los Angeles art book. What is the full name, right? The Los
Printed
Angeles
Matter, yeah, art
the,
book
fair. Yeah, as well as the I think it was either right before. I think it was right before we had you guys on when you guys were in New York.
Yeah,
right. That was last fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like in the last year and a half, we've gone to the Please Knock Erotic Art Book Fair in Brooklyn twice, and we'll be back there again this October 11th.
Awesome.
So we're flying out for that. We did the screening at the Nickel Cinema in London. We've had our stuff stocked at Printed Matter in New York at their brick and mortar store. We've had our stuff stocked at Ram Books in London.
Mm-hmm.
We did the Printed Matter art book fair over 4 days just a week ago. We're doing our in-person event next week.
Man.
We've been on the podcast twice.
Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's obviously, you know.
That's the most exciting.
I'll say honestly, the response after we had you guys on the first time, you know, we met so many people who came to us through you guys, you know, and then as well as people who listen to us and like, I never heard of this. I'm ordering a copy right now. And, you know, we'd see people. I remember seeing some people posting that they were at the Please Knock, and make sure to go, you know, write them immediately. Like, go make sure to go see the you know, honk, you know, they're the best, you know. So there's a really cool zone going on with people into this DIY porn erotic art stuff. And I feel like there's something really growing in this world right now.
It's building and it's growing, and that makes us happier than we can express, because we do this because it's something we're compelled to do. And, you know, we're at work all day and come home and we're working on this project and we're working on things and we're sharing this. And, you know, we're things are building, I think, just the way they should be. At the Printed Matter Art Book Fair, we had so many people look at our table and walk right past us and move to the next table because we had porn on our table. We had really explicit stuff. And I would say the majority of the people there skipped us, but we had a great weekend there and we met tons of people that, you know, we met people that were already fans that had already owned the previous issues and were coming to see us. And they said, you're my first stop here. I came to see you. But we got to talk to a lot of people who hadn't heard about us, and they would come up and we would say, we genuinely don't care if you buy anything. We just want to tell you about what we're doing. And we would share with people, and we're just excited to talk about what we're doing. And they would take our information, and a lot of them would, you know, want to buy the magazines, and others were just really excited that we're doing a show. But we got exposed to a lot of people that, I mean, or rather, I would say a lot of people got exposed to what we're doing and they didn't know that this was going on. And they were like instantly, like, we're finding the people who we're doing this for.
Exactly.
And it's building slowly, but it's continuing to build. And that's really why we're doing it.
Yeah. And some of my favorite interactions that we've had have been with people who were in the industry a long time ago. sort of in the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. Who had been sort of working on putting stuff out, or working in shops, and it was so nice to hear how much they appreciated what we were doing, and how kind of upfront we were about everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it means a lot coming from these people who seemed like they kind of missed the way things used to be, and I'm glad we're able to sort of take that back a little bit.
Yeah, so I about a couple of weeks ago, we were at out here in LA, we were at a birthday celebration for April Flores, who I mention in the first issue of Honk. I wrote something like, what was it? I was a teenage pornographer.
Yeah, something we talked about in the first episode, and one of my favorite things in any of these.
Yeah, so when I worked with Carlos Batts and his wife Lillian, and she's moved to New York. And I don't remember if I told this story last time, but when we went to Please Knock, it was our first time in New York 2 years ago, and Lillian's walking right in front of us, and I blurted her name out, and she was like, you know, everyone calls me April now, you know, my work name. Like, but basically we reconnected, and it was really just, you know, almost like it was meant to happen, where we were thousands of miles from LA. And anyhow, yeah, she was here a couple of weeks ago back in LA for a birthday that we were at the party hanging out. And we got to meet someone who actually, I mean, you guys will love this. We met a couple of people who used to work in the industry, who worked with the Dark Brothers.
Oh, wow.
Who worked for VCA.
Heck yeah.
Who worked for Bizarre Video Productions.
Ooh. Amazing.
And they would bring this up, and they were like, oh, maybe you don't know about this. I used to work for a Bizarre Video. And instantly I'm pulling up pictures on my phone of like VHS tapes I own.
You're talking to the right people.
Yeah. But it was great because these were people who were, you know, they were sharing pictures with us, with Larry Flint and with Gregory Dark. And one of the sort of amazing things was that, so I have, maybe for legal reasons, I should say, and this is true, I have a New Wave Hookers VHS from Australia, which has Tracy's cut out.
Yeah.
So I will say, so I have this Australian version that was released where Tracy's completely cut out of the film, but on the cover, there's this sort of what do you call it, like this overlay picture of Tracy, like
that's
four
the
times
original cover,
the original cover, and we met this woman Cynthia who laid that cover out.
Wow.
And she was showing us pictures, and we were talking. Wow. She was like, I have all this art stuff at home. So, I mean, she's lived an amazing life and has a lot of stories. And we spoke to her, and she was surprised, I think, that we knew so much about what she had done, and was really thrilled that we were so excited to talk to her. So we're still, you know, we're meeting people, basically, like Kira said, just people that have been in the industry, and they see the sort of excitement and reverence we have for the sort of things that they did. And we're, you know, like, this is just growing, and we're, they were all really impressed. You know, we had brought some copies of Honk along, and they all looked at it and were just
amazing.
Blown away by it. But they were, you know, we
carry them around now because
why not?
It's almost all we talk about to people, so it's good.
Yeah,
but
what I love about you guys is that a big thing we talk about here is we call it the no disclaimer. I hate disclaimers. I love when it's just like, no, this is what we do. Your disposition when you tell someone about Honk, show someone Honk, you're not like, oh, heads up, like, this is pretty crazy. But you're literally just like, no, I love this. This is what I do, and I'd love you to check it out. And that to me is why you guys are so great, why we immediately connect with you guys, because there is no disclaimer. It's just like, no, this is what we love, and I'm showing it to you. It doesn't mean you have to love it, but I love it. I love if you love it, but, you know, whatever. And so I think I love hearing these stories, you know, that you're getting to meet these people. No, that Tracy Lord's cover is amazing because we have the VCA DVD of it because Ginger Lynn has become the cover of it with a similar layout, the way that looks. And of course, she is incredible in that movie. Yeah. And, yeah. Hey, now, have you met anyone like a Ginger Lynn or like any of those old school performers at this point? Or is it more sort of like behind the scenes people, like you said?
Well,
I mean, I mean, you've probably met more people just from your work.
Right. So I'm thinking about the both of us together.
Right.
I'm not sure because in the
past. I meant more like as Honk, as Jesus and Kira. Because obviously you've met Jesus, you know, many people through your work.
Right. Even like, you know, I've met Annie Sprinkle and Long Jean Silver. You know what we did? Was it last year in New York? We met Gerard Damiano Jr.
Oh, wow, wow.
And he came up to us in at the Please Knock Fair, and he, I forgot what we were selling.
Card.
Gave us his card, but he was like, yeah, very excited to tell us who he was. Yeah. We were very excited about who he was. And amazing. Because, I mean, his dad made some of the best films in that era. Like
In any genre.
Yeah, just incredible movies. So is that...
We did.
Is there anyone else?
We met Eric Kroll recently as well. At the same party, and that was really amazing to meet him. He's very just inspiring person.
Yeah, I think so. Earlier in the year, we went to, I think it was Arcane Books in Century City. Eric Kroll had just done that hardcore book, and we had it signed, and it was a sort of whirlwind event and really busy. But at this birthday party for April Flores, Eric Kroll was sitting across from us, and he was looking through Honk, and it's really interesting because we didn't give him our contact information, but the next day he called us. We had some stickers and business cards around, and on the business card we have the phone number to our voicemail box. So he calls us. We get a, you know, we get an email saying we got a new voicemail, and it's like, this is Eric Kroll. Come meet me for lunch. I'm in Atwater Village. Bye.
Amazing.
And, yeah. So we call him back and from a different phone number. So he doesn't know who's calling.
Yeah.
But about 10 minutes later, and he's like, are you coming or not?
Amazing.
And we're like, that was the first thing he says. And we're like, yeah, we're about an hour out, but we'll meet you. And he's like, perfect. I haven't had lunch yet. You know, and it was just wow. Like
it's so great because he's such a prolific, like important person in this kind of world, and he's got this kind of braggadocious personality that we really aspire to, and we kind of we fake it a lot of the time because in our writing because it's so cool to us and we want to put across something that we're not necessarily feeling ourselves. And he's so great. He's really interested in art and
very
kind person.
Yeah, after we called him back and said we'd meet him for lunch, he called us back about 10 minutes later and he's like, oh, if it wasn't obvious, bring Honk. he's like, there's two girls here I want to show it to. So, yes, we brought it and we met him. Yeah, some in Atwater Village, and
go? Tam O'Shanter's?
No, so I
love Tam O'Shanter's.
We went to
Sizzler,
a really
still a Sizzler there.
Still a Sizzler in Atwater. Yeah, yeah.
We went
to
a really great Vietnamese restaurant.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, just a small.
I wish I could remember the name.
Vietnamese restaurant. Yeah, shout out to this place. That was really good. But
it was so good.
Yeah, it's funny. He had a girl with him who he had brought an outfit for her to wear and sort of just try on clothes for him. And
oh, thank goodness.
And
that's
we like walked down the street and, you know.
It was so cool. It was
that's amazing.
Exactly but what you want.
This
from...
is what you, this is, yeah. But this is like the world that, you know, and again, you guys are just building this world. This is not going to be the last time that you're going to get a call like this from somebody.
Yeah, and then he was like, hey, after lunch, like, let's go to Dave Naz's house in West Hollywood. Are you down to go? It was just a lot of, like, you guys appreciate this sort of artwork. You got to see the stuff Dave Naz has in his house.
Wow.
You got to see some of the photography he has. He was, you know, Eric Kroll lives in Tucson now, and he's like, come to Arizona. Like, you need to... He's like, I have...
He's
original...
like, right now, actually. Yeah. I bought you guys a plane ticket, and you're going now, so...
Yeah, so... But it's great, and I think these are some of the... I think because, you know, people hanging out with us we have been described as a breath of fresh air.
Hey, look, obviously, look, I mean, when you find your people, like when we found you guys and you found us, and whenever we're together, it's just immediate, like, oh, we're just hanging. Like, it's obviously, when you find your people, it is always a breath of fresh air.
And that's been, I think, the best thing, you know, because like you said, at this, you know, at this birthday party, these people from Bizarre Video and VCA and Eric Kroll, we were just excited to hear stories they had to tell. We were excited to talk about what we're excited about, but we weren't looking for anything. We weren't like, want anything from them. And we've met with people who are used to these sort of situations where you're always social climbing and you're all
palmers.
Yeah. We just like shake that. Yeah. Palming. Like, let me palm you. Let me shake the hand. And what can I get from you?
We couldn't be
like
further
when you're at a
from
party here. And people say, now who are you?
Don't worry, nobody. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
So all of our relationships that we build, we talk to people and we're excited to share what we're doing, and we're excited by what the stuff, you know, like the stuff you guys are doing, like the stuff our friends do, we're so excited about. And we're excited about what we're doing, and like these are the interactions we have with people, and it's never looking for anything, and just through that and meeting similar people with similar interests, I think that's just sort of keeping things growing at like a really nice pace for us.
And especially I think because we're such geeks about this kind of stuff, just nice meeting people who have been so involved, and it seems like it's nice for them too to talk to people who are so interested in the work
and who are doing something different than what they were doing, but with the same spirit. Because obviously, something like Honk, you know, there is something that goes back to those days, and when, like we talked about in the beginning, just this idea of everything's on the table, everything's in the mix. But obviously, something like, you know, Honk didn't ever exist. This is something totally new and unique, but it brings the outlawness, right, and the wild westness of that old school feel of how these guys were doing it back in the day, and you know that's what Honk brings, you know.
Thank you.
I want to say, like, one of the things we're most proud of is, aside from the content and the sort of fun we're sharing, we're trying to do something artistic. We're trying to make something gorgeous, and we've come across some cool people making projects, and we think like, oh, you didn't put much effort into this. Like, why wouldn't you? Yeah. Why wouldn't you do everything you can? Like,
it's true though. Yeah.
This is one of the things with Kira, when we'll see a movie or we'll come across something and she's like, I don't understand why they didn't do a better job.
Totally though. But we feel that.
Yeah. But your binding is immaculate. Like, the prints are fantastic. Like, clearly so much effort has gone into this.
And like a lot of these magazines that we were inspired by from, you know, the early 70s or, you know, late 60s, they're gorgeous. They're like incredible color schemes and borders and like just little details. Mm-hmm. Like Kira drawing 9 dicks on the cover and saying, I'm going to draw a 10th dick on there, because, you know, we're just trying to make the most sort of beautiful artistic thing. That's one of our favorite things, is people are really into the content, and that's sort of the focal point. But when we hear from someone like, oh, this is beautiful, like, we love that's that means a lot, because we're trying our best to always do our best effort, and we don't understand the people that have the confidence to put out stuff without giving their full effort. It's
insane.
Yeah, how can you feel good about doing that if you're not doing everything you possibly can to get the most out of what you're doing?
It's completely insane to me. Now, issue number 3 is also going to be printed by you guys, is that correct, as the first two issues have been?
Yeah.
Have you guys in any way started giving consideration to doing it in a different way, just because of how it's growing and how the magazine is, the demand now is starting to get more than what maybe you guys can actually do on your own. Has that started to, have those conversations begun?
every day.
Every damn day.
You're just like, I'm tired.
We have these conversations every day.
Yeah.
However, we're still making this third issue the way we made the first two.
Yeah.
And we'll probably make the fourth the same way. And
we're trying to think about the practicalities of it because it's not sustainable.
Yeah. No. I mean, no, it's insane what you guys do.
And how long does it take to print again?
Yeah. So just, you know, for the second issue and the amount of pages that was, it took 6 hours just to print one issue. So, you know, with getting maybe 5 or 6 hours of sleep a night and not leaving the house, we could print 3 in a day, sometimes only 2. But, and then to bind them, with any luck, we can get those 2 or 3 bound in a day. So I think our sort of best output is making like 3 in a day.
Yeah.
And that's with, you know, working 45 hours a week at a bullshit job and finding the time to just work on this all the time. So, but that's the interesting thing is, you know, for a long time we've talked about like, well, fuck, we can't keep doing it this way. And then when people hear that, they're like, oh no, but it looks so good. Like, you can't. I think people love that we're suffering while making this, but also there is something special about the way it's done. You know, honestly, we wish we could sell thousands of copies of this because we are really proud of it. And we want everyone to own one and everyone to see it. But as it is now, I think at most we've made like 150 copies of each issue. And we hope that that will keep growing and more people will want it. But, you know, for now, this is just the way we know how to do it. And we've talked about sending it to get printed somewhere. And I think we're really particular about the quality that we get. And we know we can do that better ourselves. We don't want to send it out to get bound somewhere and then people are reading it and the spine starts coming apart because it was done sort of half-assed.
Because we also don't have the kind of money to print a bunch of these nicely, you know? We could print them badly, probably, somewhere. We put all our sort of earnings into our own printer and paper and
glue. If anyone's listening, that's a fan of what we're doing.
And billionaires out there.
Yeah, wants to bankroll all of us in what we're doing. But also, you know, we've looked into like buying equipment to sort of for bookbinding. It's like, oh, we need to drop $3,000 on this. Let's just continue to glue this by hand in the meantime. But, you know, I think for now it's like we're just going to keep doing it this way. And if it grows even bigger, we'll sort of figure out what to do. We thought about one option is maybe mass producing a version that's just more sort of middle.
There's the DIY round for the hardcores, and then you can do a streamlined version for, you know, just to get it
it's
out
like
there.
When wine has a higher tier and a lower tier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think we'll always continue to make it the way we do. We might cap that at a certain number and then print others. Yeah, just a sort of readily available version.
Well, I think you could even sell singular pages, like even the pages you brought over just for people to hang up and frame because they really are beautiful.
Especially the covers. I mean, the cover to me is always so exciting, and this new one is just so incredible. I can't wait.
But this Scorpion Lust print, I would certainly frame this and put it in our home.
Yeah. And hey, we just might
do
that.
And these Polaroids. They're also like, this would be amazing. If I saw this hanging up, I would be like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. You know, as long as Jesus and Kara don't steal any Polaroids in the other room from us, you know.
I hid them before they came over.
Yeah. I know how they are. I know how they are.
We were looking last time. We almost found them.
But listen, you guys, as of this recording, there's only 10 days until the show. So you guys need to get on that printer. We actually are holding you hostage.
Printing while you're gone right now?
Yes. No. So when we left the house, we set things to print. But this is one of the rare times before the event that we will be out of the house.
I will be reprimanding you if I see you out of the house before the event because you guys need to be...
Get back home. Get back to that printer.
Printing.
You have some glue, sir.
The people need issue 3 at the Elysian. The Elysian, is that how we pronounce it? Elysian.
Yeah.
Elysian, you know, you've got a cool sort of... twang to your voice.
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, we've actually never been there. I've driven by there. It's a cool little area. I like that you guys are doing it at a different place. There's obviously maybe a handful of places that would have been maybe expected for this to be at, but I think it's really cool that you're starting a new place. I really, really hope this is the first of many. Like I said, you know, Tara and I do have ideas for stuff we would like to do in a live setting, you know, for future events. So I really... People need to get out. This is going to be a blast. I mean, you just got to be there. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, so like we mentioned at the start of this podcast, we've looked for places to do an event in LA. We had a lot, you know, we need LA to show up because we got invited to London and it killed. We got invited to New York twice and it killed.
Yeah, let's go.
Here in LA, we have people telling us, "Oh, we like this, but we can't do this here."
Yeah.
And so yeah, we spent quite a long time. We contacted people that said, "Oh yeah, let's do an event," and then they ghosted us.
Of course.
And here at the Elysian, there's three spaces there. There's the main theater where they have a lot of comedy shows. There's the vault, which it's all in the same property, which a small room. We're going to be in the Skunk Room across the parking lot, which is just sort of like a big sort of warehouse space. And they're letting us show porn. We told them several times in our email. Well, first, we'll see. So our in to this, our friend Robert Dayton, who will be performing as the Canadian Romantic.
He's hosting the whole show.
He's hosting it.
There you go.
Of Canned Ham.
Yeah, met last summer with you guys, and it was just this weird coincidence where we were familiar with his stuff from back in the day. We found out we had a bunch of mutual friends. We actually then ran into each other a week later at an event. So kind of, again, not that shocking that, like, our worlds are going to collide because, like, this is our world we live in, and we're going to run it. There's going to be a lot of overlap, but I'm very looking forward to that. It's going to be great.
Yeah, so, you know, Robert's a really good friend of ours, and he's going to be performing and hosting the event, emceeing. He introduced us to the booker at the Elysian, and we went from there, and we laid it all out, and we told her this is what we're doing. We made sure to mention in the email about 15 times, we will be showing hardcore films. This is X-rated, 18 plus only. And she's like, "Okay, yeah, sounds good."
Like let me be very clear.
And then we replied again and said, "Here's a sample of some of the porn we are going to show.
We just don't want anyone to be surprised."
Yeah, here's a sample. Yeah, because we were expecting sort of her to say okay, and then a week before the event, "Wait a second.
Yeah, wait, what?
Wait, this is porn?"
Yeah.
But no, like,
I just saw Batman and Dick Nose.
Yeah.
So honestly, like, we're really glad that they're giving us a chance to do this, and we hope, you know, a lot of people come through. We spoke to a lot of people at the Printed Matter Book Fair. We've spoken to a lot of people online that said, "We're going to be there. We're coming through. We're so excited. We're glad you're doing this." So we hope anyone listening or anyone in either of our sort of worlds we encounter will come out. It's on a Sunday. The day before, what is it, Memorial Day?
Oh, it is. Okay, there you go. So, look, you got no excuse.
Yeah,
come
on out. It's a holiday
the
next day.
It's going to be great, yeah.
Come out. Yeah, where, you know, Robert Dayton's performing a sort of erotic sort of comedy opener. But then we have three live musical performers. We're going to be screening some hardcore films. We have underground espionage.
Laying out the tunes for the night in between all the
Mike
bands
and
stuff. Yeah, so yeah, we're just
it's gonna be a great event.
It's gonna be a great time.
And hopefully we can pressure Rhea Adrie, aka Miss Honk, to come down from Oakland and be there at the event. But honestly, we hope a lot of people come through, and we hope to meet a lot of people. But also, there's gonna be a lot of our friends that are coming through, and that's sort of the basis for this, is doing stuff we want to do and doing stuff with our friends. And once we got this event space to do an event, we contacted all of our friends and said, come through, come perform, come be a part of this, because we just want to have a fun party.
It's going to be a total blast. So May 24th, 7 p.m. I think are the doors on that flyer there. So just come out early, because we'll be spinning tunes right at the beginning. So, like, you know, we're just going to get the setting going. And
if you know us, you know we're always early.
Yeah. We come early. We come at the right time, and we come late.
And you know, often.
We come often at least two times.
We don't come late.
It depends how many.
If we're late, it's my fault.
Or how many beers we've had. Sometimes it delays. You get a little delayed.
I don't really drink beer.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that because the point is, it's me, Tara. Sometimes the amount of beers I drink delays the inevitable. But it always happens. The inevitable will always.
But honestly, so we're doing this film screening, but also while you guys are DJing, we're going to be projecting, like, this isn't stuff you've seen before. And if you have, it's probably because you're familiar with us. But we're going to be showing some really cool stuff all night. So from about 7 till 11, like, you know, come through, come early, and there's going to be a lot of cool stuff.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Issue 3, you can pick it up there, but of course, after the event, it'll be available for people not in LA online at some point. I mean, I'm not, you know.
Like I said, we got to make our copies for the event, and then anyone who wants them after will make it available online shortly after.
Of course. And really, really excited. Well, hey, Susan Kerr, obviously, we're just going to have you back and back and back. New issues, or just to hang out and talk. Obviously, as last time, we could just talk forever. There's no end to our conversations. But thank you so much for coming over, talking about the new issue, talking about the event. Can't wait for it. Love you guys, man. This is always a blast.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Honk, honk.